It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
One more crossover episode to wrap things up here. Patriots Beat, Patriots Daily crossover on CLNS Media. Alex Barth, Taylor Kyles, Mike Cadlick, Brian Hines going down the line. Powering through the day after the NFL draft. All eight picks for the Patriots are in the books, and we have their 2024 draft class. So we'll kind of react to that, look ahead to the next steps. We'll mainly focus on day three. We talked about Drake May and the day two guys on previous shows. You can go back and check those out earlier on the channel. But drafts in the book, guys. How do we feel?
Tired.
Tired, exhausted, excited. Before we, you know, give our full things, I think the one thing that we can all agree on is that eight picks, seven players on offense was massive for them. They really needed to obviously, you know, rejuvenate and replenish that side of the football. I forget who asked Gerard Mayo in his press conference yesterday, like, did you not have a say because you'd only got one defender? And he was like, he laughed and he was like, no, we knew that these were the needs and we had to fill them. So I think that's a huge positive, because you talk about, and we look back on, you know, especially last season, it really hit home where they needed offense and they still took three defenders at the top. And it's like, Bill couldn't help himself where, you know, they really hit on those needs. So I think that's obviously the, you know, the overarching most important part of this entire thing.
Yeah. I think, you know, when I look at this draft class, to me, I feel like they more or less did what they needed to do. They got the quarterback. Obviously, that's, you know, they needed Drake May. We're all on board with that. The receivers, we talked about yesterday how Jalen Polk was a great fit with Drake May. You can say the same thing about Javon Baker. It's going to take me a minute to get that. It's Javon, not Javon. Yeah. So they have the Jays, like the Celtics now. Javon, Jalen.
True.
But they got a couple of deep ball receivers for Drake May. Jaheim Bell, sneaky good pickup at the end of the draft. You talk about value. People were mad about reaches earlier in the draft. Some people thought Jaheim Bell would be a top 100 pick. That's tremendous value.
And Jaheim, three J's.
is it Jaheim or Jaheim?
I think it's Jaheim, but still three Jaheim. J's.
Okay, cool. Yeah, there's a theme here. We could throw Joe Milton in there.
You know,
the one pick on defense, I kind of
worry
like,
the lead, Barth. Come on, it's Joe Milton.
I'm going through the class. They all got drafted by the Patriots.
It took you two minutes to say Joe Milton's name. That was smashing the Moore line on that one.
They all got drafted by you know, the one defensive pick. The one, you know, knock I have, we get into the UDFAs too, but the one knock I have, I would have liked to see them be more aggressive in addressing left tackle. That's pretty much it. Besides, which is become a pattern here, but besides that, I think they had a solid draft. They went in, they did what they needed to do. I don't think they did anything groundbreaking. I don't think they did anything generational, but they went in and they got the kind of players we felt like they needed to get.
It was also encouraging to hear that it turned out that Scott Peters and Kugler were both on board with getting Caden Wallace and getting him to left tackle.
Right.
So, you know, it didn't feel like they kind of panicked. It was like, no, we think that this guy has the tools to move. And Brandon Thorne said it was at least worth a try to move over to the left side. He thought the Patriots got decent value there. So, you know, it's one of those still, like we said at the time, one of those wait and see things to really know if it was a good pick or not. But I also understand people being upset they didn't get like a Patrick Paul or Kingsley Suamata.
Well, that's the thing we talk about too with Drake May. With, you know, he needs coaching. He needs so much coaching. Don't take him. He needs too much coaching. It's like, well, if you trust your damn coaching to make something happen, then it's going to work out. And the same can go with the Caden Wallace pick. Like, okay, if you think he has the tools to play left tackle and you just need to coach him up and you trust your coaches to be able to do so, then make the pick and don't think twice about it. So I think that's, you know, that's the positive spin on it, right? It's just a matter of actually making it happen, of course.
Brian, what do you think of the class as a whole?
I mean, they didn't overthink it, right? They had their holes. They went out and addressed them. So I like it. You mentioned like the two receivers. I think they're great fits with Drake May. Like, and that's what you want to do. You get your quarterback, go play to his strengths, guys who can win downfield, win over the middle, you know, good hands, contested catch guys. So I thought that was a good mix. But yeah, it's like, let's see. Caden Wallace is like the big question mark. Let's see how that looks when we get out, when we put the pads on, how that looks at left tackle.
So again, the class, Drake May, third overall. They trade down a little bit to get Jalen Polk, 37th. Stay at 68, take Caden Wallace after run a tackle. Day three started with a guard, Layden Robinson from Texas A&M. Seven picks later, they're back on the board. Javon Baker, wide receiver from UCF. Then it's a 70-pick gap. So, Mike, they did actually have time to go out and get lunch, and we had to wait because I thought the trade was coming. It didn't. Marcellus Dial, first off, great name. Great name. I almost went. When we talk about now spin the dial on defense, right?
Different level,
Yeah, that was a little Mike Reese to me. But Marcellus Dial.
Great job by Reese with Dial. When he did that, right? Yeah. So, you know, we know what, you know, what Reese does, and he likes to have fun with his, you know, reporting with stuff like that, right? Yeah. And I just thought he was like, I just thought he meant, you know, they're going to go defender, like dial it up. And then all of a sudden he comes out.
The first time he did it, and then there were more, and you realized what was going on.
The bell, ring the bell.
I didn't notice this. Earlier on, he tweeted the Baker emoji. And I think everybody just missed it.
Yeah.
Because they had just made a pick, and we were all caught up in the previous pick.
Right, that's right.
But so they go Marcellus Dial at 180, Joe Milton at 193, and then they close it out with Jaheim Bell at the end of the draft. And again, we'll get into the UDFAs later, but let's just react. You know, we'll go one at a time here. Again, we've talked about Drake May. We've talked about Jalen Polk. We've talked about Caden Wallace. You can find those shows back and make sure you're subscribed if you're not already to the CLNS Patriots channel. We did those shows Friday and Saturday, but they start off guard, Layden Robinson, powerful player, weird body type for a guard. He's built more like, you know, a Nate Solder type of tackle. Mm-hmm. His leverage isn't great, but he still can overpower people, which is super interesting. I'm sure they're going to try him at tackle too. I know there were some experts coming in that projected him as maybe a potential multi-positional player. But my big takeaway here, guys, is that I think there's going to be an open competition for at least one guard spot, if not two. You figure City Soul will have one, but is he locked in a right or will it be both? Especially with those reports coming out after the combine that Cole Strange may not be ready to start the season. Brian, we'll start with you on this one. Your thoughts on Layden Robinson.
Yeah, how many times did Jerod Mayo say over the weekend they want to just create competition, right? Create as much competition on this roster as possible. So that's what it's going to look like. We've seen like Cole Strange, he's had his ups and downs. He can't stay on the field. You know, there was a picture at OTAs last week where he's still in, you know, he's not in pads or not pads. Like, you know, he's not in his jersey. He's in street clothes, right? So he's not even ready. He's not healthy. He's still easing his way back into things. We saw like Moffy wasn't great in his limited reps last year. So they took all these guys, but what if the returns have been great? So create competition, protect your young quarterback. I was fine with that pick in Robinson.
Taylor, what are your thoughts on Robinson?
I like him. I like the long arms. One thing that he mentioned, that he's got like burst off the line, which is what the coaches liked. And then reading about him, that's consistently mentioned, is he is explosive off the line. There's some issues with like his mirroring skills, apparently. Like he isn't super mobile, although he is an effective puller, which in that Alex Van Pelt scheme, that's what you want to hear. He was in a really diverse run scheme in college. But with that arm length, that's really intriguing, because if a guy doesn't have that great movement skills, you'd like him to be able to initiate contact and kind of shut guys down early. And it seems like he's got the skill set to do that. But again, the competition, like we know the left side isn't locked in, whether it's Chooks or Cole Strange. So at least they have guys where they can push the starters. So if they are the day one starters, you know, all right, at least these are the guys, you know, the team feels comfortable with, versus kind of being hamstrung. And it's like, well, these are the guys we got. We don't really have a choice. And we saw last year how bad it was when they had to go to their depth guys who weren't ready yet. So I do like that they shored up the offensive line like they said they would, with two players that, honestly, I'm intrigued to see. I'm excited. I like the skill sets. You know, the fit for Caden Wallace, again, we'll see. But Layden Robinson, I think, is a guy who's going to be starting for this team within the next couple of years at some spot along the offensive line. I like his profile.
Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you really, Alex, when you noticed it a couple of weeks ago when we talked to Elliott Wolf pre-draft and he mentioned all of those offensive linemen and he did omit Cole Strange's name. And so, look, does he make the team? Who knows? I have a way way, way, way too early roster projection already up on CLNSmedia.com. Just, you know, to kind of take a look at what the team could look like. And like, I have him on there, but that doesn't mean he's going to start. And I don't think you can rely on or, you know, I guess trust any Belichick regime player to be on this roster next season. Like we talk, and we'll talk about the wide receiver room, but they bring in those two guys, Juju Smith-Schuster, a Belichick signing, Tyquan Thornton, a Belichick regime draft pick. Like, do those guys make the room? Same with Cole Strange on offense, where he isn't healthy. You are loading up with Laden Robinson. And yeah, I think it goes to show that, you know, they're not going to just, I guess, you know, they're not going to rely on the old picks. They're going to make it a new one. So Laden Robinson being there adds competition. And I like it. I think they needed it, especially with, you know, Mafi and Jake Andrews, two question marks. Like, those guys aren't locked to make it either.
And you got to remember, the guys in charge, they didn't pick Cole Strange.
Exactly.
The guys in charge now, they were here, but, you know, it was Bill's board, and maybe they feel differently, even the three players last year. All right, moving on, 110th pick, Javon Baker. In a word, confidence.
Oh, yeah.
Confidence. Am I out of line to comp Javon Baker to, like, Steve Smith or Terrell Owens or Chad Ochocinco? Because at least the way he talked to us, he feels right out of that era in the NFL. And for the record, I love it. I love it. You got to be confident to play that position. It, you know, bring your popcorn and make people stand up out of wheelchairs. He said him, Jalen Polk, and Drake May alone, we're going to bring winning back to the city of Boston, which the Red Sox put up 17 last night.
Good work, Taylor.
Celtics and Bruins came out. We got a
football score for Taylor.
Right.
17-0.
Maybe Javon Baker's right. Maybe the winning's back. As a player, you know, to me, now that we have the full picture, I think the idea is him and Polk come in and fill the roles that were supposed to be filled by Devontae Parker and Juju Smith-Schuster the last couple of years. And we'll see what happens. Like Cole Strange, you know, I think Juju Smith-Schuster's future is now a little cloudy, but you got your kind of move, you know, versatile receiver and Polk. And I think Baker is going to have a chance to be the starting X week one. Gerard Mayo has said he wants to play the kids. I think he's going to have a chance to play a lot.
It's funny you mentioned Steve Smith and Ocho, because Steve Smith had Javon Baker on his show where he goes over all the receivers. And he said the footwork did remind him of Ochocinco. And then when it comes to where he's going to play, Baker, dude, this is – so they have a room full of, like, nice guys. And Kendrick Bourne is, like, you know, the cool uncle and everything. And you love him, the energy he brings.
He's like the old guy now in that room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like,
yeah, that happened,
like,
quick.
He literally will not put up with any bullshit, and you can tell where, like, he said, like, where I'm from, all I do is football, and he means it. And he was saying, like, whether I'll play X, and he said yesterday when he was talking to us, he plays with a Mamba mentality, and he mentioned during the show that they were asking about, like, Pat Surtain and, like, what it was like for him to go up against him. He's like, is there anybody that you had to watch a lot of film on? He's like, when I was in Bama going up against Pat, I was like, damn, this dude different. Like, he's playing to feed his family. Like, this is no joke. And he was mentioning how when he's playing guys, he doesn't want to attack their weaknesses. He's like, no, I already know what you're bad at. I want to attack what you're good at so I can see where I'm at. That reminded me of that documentary where Kobe was talking about when he was a kid and he was in youth tournaments. Everybody else is using their right hand all the time because obviously you want to be your best. Kobe was so just freaking ahead of his time. This guy was using his left hand because he was like, I want to be better. Like, you guys can keep doing your thing and, you know, work on your strength. I'm going to get better at the highest level. That reminded me of that kind of thing where he's just, this dude is built different. And when it comes to the alignment, I'll finally get into that. He said he wants to play X. He wants to go up against the best competition, but he's also like, I want you to move me around. I don't want to be in one place. And we know that's exactly what Elliott Wolf in this kind of Packers style / Van Pelt type of offense is going to do with their wideouts. So I'm really excited, man. The play style and everything is already exciting, plenty to work on. But that mentality, he is going to make the guys in that room around him, because he's going to push Gonzo. He's going to push the other receivers. Like, you need to be your best and don't shy away from competition. I'm juiced, man.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, you look at – we talked about a few times on the other shows, the, like, it's like the character class and the rebuilding class of, you know, the – they want to, like – They want good guys. They want good guys just as much as they want good players. And this was a little bit, you know, off the straight and narrow for them with this pick as far as who he is as, like, as a personality.
But is he – hang on, sorry. He doesn't have any prior, like,
they
disciplinary issues.
Correct.
Like, they also brought him in for a visit, so they're pretty comfortable with the character, I'd say.
I don't think he's a bad guy. He's just really, really cocky. He's just kind of bad.
It's different, but it's not bad. Like, there's no concern there. It's just a different confidence level.
No, but I just want to be clear, but this is not because I see people being like, oh, another one of these like troubled white. He's that, when I say he's out of that like old school 2000s mold, I mean it. He's absolutely one of these diva wide receivers. That doesn't make him a bad person.
Correct.
A lot of those guys would have sound bites for days, but they didn't mean they were bad people. It didn't mean they were getting in trouble. They just liked having a microphone in front of them and they were clever. 100%. That's kind of the vibe I get from Javon Baker.
It is not like where sometimes we kind of get that with Mac, where sometimes he seemed like he was a little cocky and you know in the back of your head, like, you're not really that guy, man. So it came off as kind of weird. If you watch Javon Baker, it's like, I understand why he's cocky. He clearly puts the work in and he's got a crazy skill set. So yeah, I mean, you can be offended by it if you want, but this is a dude who backs up what he says. So
yeah, 100%.
Brian, your thoughts?
I mean, I talked about it a little earlier. Like, I love the fit with Drake May. I think he can give you that X body type you need, but maybe a little more versatile than like a Devontae Parker, who when he's out there, he's only going to be on the boundary. As you know, Taylor said, Baker said he can move around a little bit. And I love that he's has a connection with Drake May already, right?
That's true.
When they were both committed to Alabama in like 2019, 2020, they worked out together a good amount of time. He said May texted him right away. So I really like that connection. And that was probably my favorite pick on yesterday with Baker.
We're going to get into that. We're going to do like pound for pound favorite picks, but we got the 70 pick gap here. So what a perfect time. And I remembered this time. How about that? What a perfect time for us to pause and hear from our friends. And then we'll get back with the late day three picks.
Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball and hockey entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. I personally love Prize Picks because they're super easy to use, easy to navigate, and they offer injury insurance, so your entries stay live even if one of your players gets injured. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
All right, back on the board with pick 180, Marcellus Dial. So this was the guy I probably did the least amount of work on coming in. There's always one guy that kind of slips under the radar. Their lone defensive.
You do all the work. You're like, I'm going to cover the entire thing and make sure I knew everyone. Right. And they throw someone at you. It's like, oh, what the
heck? And it's always sixth round corner. Like, it was Amir Speed last year. Yep. So Dial, really good frame for a corner. 6'1", 90, 32-inch arms. Productive on the ball last year, very clean player, didn't take a lot of penalties, but he's just going to need to be more nuanced in his movements at the next level to keep up with NFL wide receivers. I think he could be a better tackler, but there might be some special teams value. I know the Patriots, when they tweeted out the pick, they labeled him as a safety. I was told not to read into that. Maybe he plays a little safety, but he played almost exclusively boundary corner in his career in college. And I would think outside of special teams, and he's going to have to play special teams to make the team. But when he gets looks on defense, I would expect it to be initially, at least primarily at boundary corner. Mike, we haven't started with you yet.
Yeah. Well, that was my initial thought. And when I wrote up my roster, I have him on the team, but right now I wrote him as a safety, and you know, that's new information as far as what you just said to consider him as a corner, but you look at them not really, addressing free safety yet. Like, yeah, they signed Jalen Hawkins, but I look at Dial as someone who could contribute there too and just be an overall, you know, defensive back and also contribute on special teams. So if there was one position, right, they did take one defender. If there was one position on the defense that they should have hit, I would say it's corner. It's the number one need on that side of the football. So I like it. Take a swing at a guy who will probably make the roster. You still have a young room with guys like Marco Wilson and Alex Austin there. So it's it's Christian Gonzalez and a gap. So you kind of want to build that up as much as possible. So if, again, they were going to take one defender at that spot, I like that it was a corner.
Brian.
Yeah. I mean, good size, like speed to play, keep him along the boundary. You mentioned the ball skills, like 25 pass breakups over the last 2 years. So just another one of these developmental guys, like it's him, Isaiah Bolden, Alex Austin, Marco Wilson. Like there's a spot up for grabs, kind of that third corner, the third boundary corner, and just let Mike Pellegrino cook with these guys. Just get him in the room and let
exactly
Mike Pellegrino cook, because he's had success with guys like this. So take as many shots as you want on these kind of developmental corners with some, you know, intriguing athletic skill sets and see what happens.
Yeah. So Taylor, that group on the boundary behind Gonzo is getting kind of crowded. We'll see if Jonathan Jones plays on the outside or in the slot, but then you have Alex Austin, Marco Wilson, Sean Wade. We'll throw Dial in there. Isaiah Bolden's going to come back right after the season-ending injury last year. How does Dial fit into that group to you?
Well, I think the fact that he has experience in the slot and at safety, and I asked Gerard Mayo, like, where do you see his role? Yeah. He's going to be a versatile player for them. That's why I list him as a DB, because I feel like with all these bodies they have, they don't really desperately need someone to fill a role. But, you know, I think Jonathan Jones is probably going back into the slot. I just don't think you can rely on Marcus Jones, honestly. I really liked what we saw from his rookie year, but between the health and the inconsistency that we saw last season, you know, I'd probably put Jonathan Jones into that, then make it a competition. Because you said Isaiah Bolden, Alex Austin, and then Marcellus Dial, I think are probably going to be at the head of that competition. Marco Wilson gives you a veteran presence there. But I really like the skill set. Like a lot of things he needs to work on are things that are intangible, where it's like, I know processing was a bit of an issue. I like to see him turn more of those pass breakups and interceptions. He had 3-2 seasons ago, but didn't have any other interceptions in his college career, but did have double-digit pass breakups. So that tells you he's clearly smart and he's clearly athletic enough to stick with guys, because you're not getting double-digit. I don't care, especially in the SEC. You're not getting double-digit pass breakups if you're not a good player. So he does give them versatility, flexibility, which I really like. And then looking at special teams in his career, he's on field goal block, punt coverage, and punt return. Not a ton, but he does have experience there. So I do like that, you know, if you're a sixth-round pick, you're going to have some special teams value more often than not. So he gives you that. Seems like he has a great attitude. It was nice to hear that the Patriots.
He was a ton of fun.
Yeah. With all these guys, I don't, there wasn't any pick that we ever heard.
Bourne's story was awesome.
It was at the hibachi place. By the way, the Saga rules. Good spot.
Yeah.
Didn't know that he was on the team either, which is really funny.
He was just like, oh, look at this guy that's here. But then, like, how did that come up? Or I guess he's like, what do you do? You know, oh, I'm from out of town. I'm visiting the Patriots pre-draft, probably, right?
He was probably wearing some expensive sunglasses. He's like, how's this dude afford? They're like, who is this guy?
That's true. You know, KB's got the glasses going. That's it. I mean, he's all, the whole fit's usually pretty
good. They probably gave him a Born Blessed t-shirt, too.
Yeah. I got some back in my car.
They're going to walk in. They're all going to have the Born Blessed towels hanging in their locker. So,
yeah, exactly.
So, any last thoughts on Marcellus Dial?
Like Taylor said, I like spin the dial now, Alex. You got me on that because you call them a DB. You can play them anywhere. It doesn't matter. Throw them all in the room and see what happens. So, yeah, I like the pick.
All right.
You chose Belichick's third biggest position of need. So, there you go.
They checked off Belichick's three boxes. All right. 193.
Take it away.
Later.
Have it.
Joe Milton, quarterback, Tennessee. I wrote last night kind of my expanded thoughts on Joe Milton, because I'll be honest. Like, I didn't think the Patriots were going to take Joe Milton. He's a fun player.
A thousand plus words, expanded thoughts.
The Drake May takeaways were longer, I checked.
Okay.
which I was actually surprised, because we talked so much about Drake May leading up that I thought I had gotten all my thoughts out on Drake May. I didn't think the Patriots were going to take Joe Milton. I thought they were just going to take one quarterback and be done with it. And, you know, I thought they liked Zappe to an extent as the backup. So I wasn't necessarily prepared for that, but so, you know, I sat down, I thought about it. And by the way, everybody who reached out to me, I heard from more people than I did on my birthday when they drafted Joe Milton. So everybody, if I didn't get back to you, I'm sorry. It was like, I wrote the thing up. I looked at my phone. It was nuts. I saw him. I try to find as many as I can. I appreciate it. You know how we tier players in the draft, right? Like last year it was Zay Flowers and DeMario Douglas was day three Zay. Joe Milton is basically day three Drake May.
Yeah.
That's basically what his skill set is. Mm-hmm. Now he's older. There's much less of a ceiling there, but he has some unique traits. And part of the reason I was out on Joe Milton to the Patriots, and I had said like I didn't want the Patriots to draft him. I thought he was going top 150. I thought one of these teams that wasn't an immediate quarterback team, but a team like the Giants or the Raiders or the Saints, where it's like we may need a quarterback in a year or two, may take that flyer and be like, well, you know, before we go back to the carousel, let's just kick the tires on this guy. Instead, we got this historic run. It was literally the longest gap in NFL draft history without quarterbacks. And I think teams are, I've talked about this with all three of you in different shows during the pre-draft process. Quarterbacks, take them first, take them last. The day two quarterback doesn't do anything. And I think that's going to be extinct. So Joe Milton falls at 193. So I thought, you know, Patriots have to take him at 137, too early. When you get down to 193, sixth and seventh round, you're drafting, unless you're taking a special teams guy, unless you're trying to find like a Matthew Slater, or you're taking a kicker or a punter, you're basically just drafting individual traits. A lot of the times the approach there is, this guy does this one thing very well. Let's draft him and see if we can turn that one thing into, you know, a sustainable role on our team. And I would argue, of all the individual traits in this draft, there may not be one that's more impressive than Joe Milton's arm strength. I think it's Joe Milton's arm strength. It's Xavier Worthy's speed. Mm-hmm. Those were probably the two, and I guess T'Vondre Sweat's power, size, power, strength. It's an elite tier trait. Now, there's a lot around that that are the reasons he fell to the sixth round. His accuracy needs work. His decision-making needs work. His footwork needs work. And he's been in college for 6 years and hasn't had a ton of growth. But I do think there's a role for him. I think there's a role. It's a role Jacoby Brissett actually had in Indy when he backed up Andrew Luck. Yes, Drake May's a bigger guy and he can move, but quarterback takes a beating on those plays. So why not send 6'5", 230-pound Joe Milton out there for the tush push or the quarterback sneak? Maybe you put a little goal line package in for him. Like, you know, bring back the Cam Newton goal line package. He can run that. Drake May is a big arm. Joe Milton's arm's bigger. He's your Hail Mary quarterback. And then you see where it goes from there. If you develop him, maybe you get something for him. Maybe you trade him. A team, you know, likes what they see. They take a shot. So the Packer way is always draft quarterbacks. You can never draft too many quarterbacks. It's, you know, they want you taking at least one every year. And even if you have a guy late rounds, just take a flyer, because having a quarterback that is good, but not at the top of your depth chart, is like the best problem you can have. And so Joe Milton was the best quarterback on the board. Why not? Like he's going to do things that no other player in this draft could do. I see somebody say you could have gotten that out of UDFA. You couldn't. That's just the reality. You couldn't. So that's where I'm at with Joe Milton. Maybe it blows up in our face. We get like three entertaining preseason games and that's it. But I understand the pick, and for where they got him.
I love how much you love this pick. I love how you can just keep going on it. If they done it
at 137, I'd feel.
What's a better pick, Joe Milton here or Michael Penix at 8?
Michael Penix at 8. He's a better quarterback. But you know, at 193, you took a trait. Good trait.
I think it's
go from there. We'll see what happens.
It's fine. Could they have tried to fill, you know, a bigger need with another dart throw? Sure. But like you said, at 193, why not? And, you know, we talked about it last night on Draft Central, me and Taylor and John, when it happened. Like, is it kind of is he going to beat out Bailey Zappa for the third spot? I don't know. Maybe. But then Ian Rappaport dangles the fact that they could try and trade Zappi. So if you can get something for Zappi, that adds another element, and then it's worth it. I don't know if they're just going to go two quarterbacks ultimately with Brissett and May. You think they keep a third just for, you know, injury purposes and having somebody else in the room, or Joe Milton doesn't make the team and they can practice squad him and go from there. So
remember, the emergency third quarterback now can come from the practice squad.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. That too.
That's where I think Joe Milton's going to be when the season starts.
Yeah.
So I don't think anyone's trying to poach him. Like, everybody knows he's not ready to play yet.
But if he does play well in preseason, the Patriots don't find a spot for him, and then somebody just claims him. That's the risk you have to take. And so
you might be able to trade him. If he plays well in the preseason, you might be able to trade him. You might be able to get a six-round pick. You're not going to get a lot, but if you get a six-round –
Is this Malik Cunningham all over again?
No,
right
that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. But I would argue more exciting.
But we're also assuming that in the span of a few months, he's going to make some massive jump that he didn't in like several years in college. Yeah. Like, yes, he has a big arm, like, and especially like at the combine. I know he was kind of hesitating on some of those deep throws to show his accuracy or like his arm. But one, he lacks touch. His accuracy is all over the place. And he's like always late. I feel like he's trying to show off, but it's like, dude, you're throwing it like well, like I feel like a full second after he's supposed to, which just makes the margin for error even slimmer. So, and then on other throws, I think, you know, there were some flashes in games I watched, but I don't see how he makes the roster. And I really don't think that he's, I think he's going to be entertaining in the preseason. He's going to have some fun plays, but I think you're also going to be like, yeah, this is why this guy was taken in the sixth round. He's got some legitimate flaws in his game as a passer, although he's super athletic.
We'll see. I'm not sitting here telling you he's going to, you know, Kirk Cousins Drake May. Yeah, that's right. Let me be perfectly clear about that. I'm just saying in the sixth round, you're drafting traits and you're seeing what you can get out of those traits. And as far as individual traits go, they took a top three overall trait in the draft. Yes, if you need somebody to throw it 5 yards, they'll throw it 8 yards. Yeah. So in that sense, great. We'll see what happens. It's going to be entertaining in camp. It's going to be entertaining in the preseason. I don't know if it gets any further than that, but it's a sixth round pick, whatever. I wouldn't say they wasted the pick.
Oh yeah, no, definitely not a waste. Yeah. He's interesting. He's gonna be. I think he's a good like practice squad guy. Like you Josh Allen. That's a pretty damn good.
Well, let's also remember too that they put this whole draft. It's been character players, leadership players. They got guys that were like played multiple years in college. They got guys who were around for a while. Not too many younger guys outside of May. Milton's been in college for 6 years. He's widely regarded as like this great leader, this great character, a guy that, you know, his teammates rally around. So he fits that mold. He fits that mold too.
Can we throw the tight end transition in here? I know he said he wouldn't play it. I know he
and
said.
And by the way, thanks for the super chat. We're going to get to the UDFAs at the end. Just want to throw that in there.
Yeah. As far as the tight end transition, right? He said he wasn't going to do it. He said teams haven't talked about it. I don't know if that's actually in the Patriots' plans. Gerard Mayo said they're going to draft use him as a quarterback, but you talk about a guy who, you know, does what he will for the team to win, good leader, stuff like that. Don't Tim Tebow this, Joe Milton. If they ask you to play tight end, try and play tight end and stay in the NFL, right?
Well, everybody just assumes he'll play tight end. I don't know that he's that smooth of a mover that he's going to be able to like get open in the route tree. If anything, he's a running back, I guess, but he's too big to be a running back. Like I think he is a quarterback.
No, I agree.
Everybody's just assuming tight end. I think that he's got to change his body type a lot and really work on his footwork if he wants to play tight end.
That's true. And then when we talk about that transition, anytime it comes up, people who actually play the position are like, you're really underestimating. Like there's people who've been playing this position most of their lives and are still working at it. So we need to acknowledge the fact that it is not easy to switch positions. Like, some people are just freak athletes and it's easier for them. And like, but those are guys are outliers who go from playing quarterback and then are effectively like, who was the guy who used to be a Raiders quarterback who turned into like a dominant receiver for
Terrell Pryor.
Didn't he play receiver in college too? I think he went back and forth between the two.
The Logan Thomas transition was incredible.
Logan Thomas
really made it happen and he was really solid for them.
Logan Thomas is the worst thing that ever happened to big body, slightly mobile quarterbacks.
Yeah,
this broadside of a barn. Because remember Tyree Jackson? You guys might have been a little before you started
Buffalo, covering that.
Buffalo had this quarterback that was like 6'8 and ran like a 4.5 40. Evan was we met him at the Super Bowl once. There's a funny picture somewhere of Evan standing next to him looking up. But everyone's like, oh, he'll be a tight end. I think he's been trying to translate to tight end, but he keeps tearing his ACL because it's just not, you know, he doesn't know how to move at that position.
Yeah.
So Logan Thomas ruined it for every. Remember the Patriots tried to make Danny Etling a tight end at one point?
Yeah.
Like everybody just assumes, oh, you can't play quarterback, go play tight end. Like it's really not easy. All right. Speaking of another player who may or may not be a tight end. Huh. All right. So you want to read into the Patriots listing Marcellus Dial as a safety? Patriots.com has Jaheim Bell listed as a defensive back. I think that's a typo. But seventh round, 231st overall, Jaheim Bell. Now look. I don't know what position Jaheim Bell plays.
Safety.
He played tight end in college, but I think if you ask five different scouts what they see his role as in the NFL, you'd get five different answers. He's not quite a tight end. He's not quite a big slot. He's not quite a running back, but he can do some fullback even. But he can do some things you want in all of those roles. And I think that's probably part of the reason he fell is because anytime you draft a guy, you want to have a plan for him. And I think some teams with more established offenses looked at him and said, we don't, you know, yeah, he's athletic, but what the hell are we going to do with this guy? Whereas the Patriots, who are building up this new offense, are in a unique position where they can, if he makes it work out, create a role just for Jaheim Bell. Because the one thing we know about him, if you get the ball in his hands, he's going to make something happen. That's what he does. So we'll see ultimately how they end up using him. I've seen the Janu comps. I don't think those are terrible. The one other thing that stands out to me about Jaheim Bell is, and we just talked about how Logan Thomas ruined like big physical, you know, quarterbacks. Puka Nacua is the greatest thing to ever happen to bad combine testers, because Puka Nacua had a horrible combine. The Rams went back, looked at the tape, looked at the next gen testing and said, oh, those numbers are lying. He's way more athletic than that. And now every guy that has a bad combine, especially these guys that we think are athletes, which by the way, the Rams pulled that off last year. They draft Cam Kitchens, who also had a bad combine. They might be onto something, but you know, there's going to be a lot of people that look at Jaheim Bell and say, is he this year's Puka Nacua? Because he ran like, I think, a 4.55 40, whatever it is. You watch him on tape. He's not Xavier Worthy, but he's more explosive than that. Clearly, he's got to find a role. He's got to grow within that role. But you know, he's a moldable ball of clay. And in the seventh round, it's tremendous value. Taylor, you though seem not to agree with me on Bell's athleticism.
I mean, so I think the reason he slipped, like you said, he's a weapon. I don't think he's like a dynamic athlete, which is kind of a rough combination if you're talking about drafting a guy before the seventh round. Now, I think he does have skills. I think he's tough after the catch, like has a knack for making that first guy miss. He'll stiff arm you. He'll run through contact. You like that. He did flash some downfield ability. They didn't use him a ton that way at FSU, but like he made some tough adjustments. And I was like, okay, like he's not just this guy they're feeding him underneath because he can't catch downfield. I think he's more athletic in that sense. But while he is athletic, I don't think he's like super explosive. Like as a running back, I saw some clips of that. He didn't have any like crazy runs where I'm like, oh, like Sione Vaki, where I kind of had a similar mindset where I'm like, all right, they're using him here because he can, but not because he excels at it. And I was like, no, Vaki's legit. He can do two things. I think Jaheim Bell can do a bunch of things, but in my write-up, I said it's going to take good coaching and good deployment where you have to give him, like, you don't want him in line blocking, you know, defensive ends or anything. If you're going to have him as your move guy, I think you'd want to give him angles where he more gets in the way than is trying to move people, where I think they're going to use him in like a Harrison Bryant, where Harrison Bryant in Alex Van Pelt's offense was like a fullback. They use him on quarterback sneaks. They split him out sometimes, use him in the slot. Where like Harrison Bryan, who's much more athletic, but like just not a great football player overall. I think the Jaheim Bell is a good football player, but he has significant limitations where it's like in every role that you want to put him in, there's stuff he doesn't do super well where it's like, all right, what's the situation? What are we trying to get accomplished? And then you put him in there. But in the seventh round, I was like, hell yeah. I didn't like people taking him in like fourth and fifth. I'm like, that's not good value because I think he's going to play like 30% of your snaps at best. But at the same time, you know, he is a good football player, and I'd like to see what he can do and maybe an expanded role, especially downfield in certain sets. But yeah, he's just not really great at anything, which is why he got taken in the seventh round.
Still good value, though, for 231, I agree with you. Like, he's not a dynamic athlete. I think he's more like a straight line speed type of guy. Like, ran like a 4.61. He had a sub 1.6 10-yard split, but maybe like that short area change of direction is in his game. So he's a good pass catcher, right? Like he'd be a good option like up the seams, but the blocking does. Like I thought they might target a blocker. Like we were talking like Tip Raymond a lot, who went like really high.
Tip Raymond, top 100, Smash Mouth football, not dead yet, baby.
Real ball is back. But like he's really small for the size. He's more of an H-back. Like you're not going to play this guy in line at the tight end spot. So that was the thing I thought they would target at that tight end spot. But he's a good football player and it is really good value there in the seventh round.
Yeah, I'll just third or even fourth now the value portion of it, right? Like they went down there to Florida State. They visited with him. There was reported visits. I believe he came up for a top 30. So like they liked this player. And I wonder if as the draft went on, right, you know, they sit there at 193, call it, and maybe they're looking and say, well, Jaheim Bell's still here, but do we really like him enough? They go with Joe Milton. And then 231 comes around. It's like, just take a good football player. You mentioned it earlier, Alex. At this point, you just take traits. At this point, you just take, you know, things that can work. And if you have to cut the guy, you have to cut the guy. It's not a, you know, necessarily a valuable spot at 231 if he doesn't work out. So You know, again, at that position, you take someone who's just can play football and you try and mold them into something over the next 3-4 months until cut down day and go from there. So I liked it at 231. If they took him earlier, I'd probably feel a little bit different.
And what another guy? Oh, sorry. Just really quick things. I've seen Kyle Juszczyk comparisons. He's not Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah.
No one is. It's closer to Jonnu Smith than Kyle Juszczyk.
Right. Because he's got that kind of Jonnu stiffness where it's like, yeah, he can do things, but he just doesn't move well enough to, I think, be like Juszczyk's whole thing is he's undersized, but he's crazy physical and flexible. I don't think Jaheim Bell is that level of physical. But another thing to his credit is Dane Brugler mentioned that he got to Tuscaloosa, made a very quick impact, and was really well liked early on, and like teammates embraced him, and he was a good member of the locker room. Seventh round pick. That's a really another good character addition. That's clearly something they want. So I think that's another thing to take into consideration, where even if he's not playing a ton of snaps, he does give you a guy who's going to be, you know, a positive presence on the roster.
And he'll play special teams. The thing is he's big enough where if you teach him to tackle, he can become, you know, maybe he becomes Brandon Bolden, right? Same body type.
Yeah,
he's going to be a player that's fun in the preseason because we're gonna. I bet in the preseason they're going to play him in a bunch of different spots to see kind of where he looks good, what he's succeeding at, what he's not. Maybe it'll be a little Jordan Humphrey there, and then basically at the end of the preseason we'll have to decide, is this real or is it just it was the preseason? Because, you know, when you get in, and the same goes for Joe Milton too, when you get into the second half of these preseason games, these guys are going to be among the best players on the field. Because that's just what they were in college. And at that point, you're really looking at across the board college level talent. Joe Milton, most games he played in, was a top 10, 15 player on the field. He said the same thing about Jaheim Bell. It's very different in the NFL, but when you're in that, you know, those late preseason games, it's different. So I think those are two guys that are really going to tear it up in the preseason. And we're just going to kind of have to figure out how much of that is real, how much of that isn't. And that's, of course, the challenge that comes along with the preseason. So that's Patriots.
Maximize those guys. You need a creative offensive coordinator. Like, you can't have a guy who just is going to be straight ahead, like Jaheim Bell or off ball guy. Alex Van Pelt, if you watch his film, he doesn't get a lot of credit. Nobody talks about him like this. The Browns led the league or at the top of the league in trick plays. I know, Alex, you mentioned like how Joe Milton could kind of factor in and maybe some different quarterback run packages and things like that. There was Harrison Bryant, Kareem Hunt were playing quarterback in like different Wildcat and stuff like that. Like, Alex Van Pelt knows how to use the talent on his roster, and that's what's exciting about the Jaheim Bell and Joe Milton picks, where if they can do something and they excel in certain areas or, you know, specific facets, Van Pelt's going to find him and use him in that way.
And specifically with Jaheim Bell, go ahead.
You can go.
Specifically with Jaheim Bell, they've had trouble with scheme touch guys for years. I mean, going back to McDaniels, it hasn't worked. So another scheme touch guy, we'll see if Van Pelt can unlock it. I go back to, me and Evan talked about this on Catch 22, play action leak is like a staple of their playbook. And you have that second tight end that comes in motion and goes underneath as kind of the check down. Jaheim Bell is the ideal sort of player for that role. What do you think of this comp though, guys? Slow Deebo Samuel.
Okay, fine.
Taylor's processing it.
Yeah.
Stop with the Deebo comps, please. If it's a joke, then like good joke. But I'm so sick of hearing Deebo comps at this
any
point.
Player that's not an outright pristine route runner now is just instantly comped to Deebo. That's just the fallback comp.
Did you see his number one comparison on mock draftable, Jaheim Bell?
No.
Patriots legend Daniel Graham. So
okay, really?
Yeah,
I feel like I'm not giving Daniel Graham enough credit. I thought he was more athletic than that.
Yeah, I was gonna say Daniel Graham seems like more of just like a big body. Like
Daniel Graham was like a tackle.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well that's an interesting one. How about Joe Milton, his favorite quarterback to watch being Brock Purdy? You saw that one coming.
That was fascinating.
You know what? It makes sense though. It makes sense. It's like the worst part of his game. He wants to get better at it. He's watching somebody that's good at it.
And you can tell he tries. Like when I was watching him, just because he was so unrefined, so inaccurate, I figured it was probably lower body. It's like, no, he clearly like his drop back kind of reminds me of Cam, where it is like it's kind of slow, but it is very deliberate. He keeps the wide base. It's just, you know, everything else a little wonky. But when I heard it, I was like, no, I could see that. And he also worked with Jordan Palmer, which
he did,
Josh Allen, so that was pretty interesting.
No, he wants to be a quarterback. He's not like, oh, I got to the NFL, and, you know, I'm not saying necessarily he wouldn't do what it takes to help the team, but he's not moving off quarterback easily. Like, he's here to be a quarterback, and good for him, as he should be. Go get your money. Go get paid.
when Chris Price was asking yesterday about Joe Milton throwing oranges, I had my hand raised, and if they called on me next, I was going to ask if he thought he could throw one over the lighthouse. But then it got too far away from the question, so I was like, "This is just way too stupid." Now that I put my head down, but
well, we'll have to see. He might be able to get. He might be able to get one up there. Yeah. Like you put him at like the 50-yard line. Can he get?
We need a Drake May versus Joe Milton throwing competition at some point.
I'm sure it'll happen.
Yeah.
So all right, 8 picks in the books. Give me like pound for pound where they took them, how the player fits into the roster, all of that. What do you think is the best pick, your favorite pick in this draft? Mike, we'll start with you because you're just going to say Drake May.
No, I'm leaving that one to Brian. I'll give Brian Drake May. I really like Jalen Polk. I really like how he fits. He can be a do-it-all player. He has the attitude, to come in and just grind it to see. Gerard Mayo said, he does all the dirty work as well as he's just like he doesn't draw passes. He's a ball magnet. Mina talked about it, Taylor. We mentioned it the other day. Like he's always there catching the football. And I like, again, that I mentioned it last night or tonight, whenever it was when we were on here, that they were able to trade down a couple spots and still get him. Then they moved up 27 spots and they take Javon Baker at that spot. So I'm not going to steal Javon Baker. I'll let somebody else talk about Baker here. But I think
we know who is. Yeah.
The way that that played out, the way Wolf was able to use the board, still get the guy they wanted and then get another pick out of it mixed with his fit and in the system and how he's going to grow. With Drake May, I love the Jalen Polk pick at 37.
All right, Taylor, I think we kind of spoiled yours, so go for it. I can tell you're ready to burst.
It's Javon Baker. I mean, it's not even like it's a surprise. I've been hyping this guy up for like a month. I really liked him. I loved the value. I would have taken him in the third round. I was thinking like second round. I had heard that. I felt like that was a little rich because of his inconsistencies. But people say if he had that Alabama helmet still, he probably would have gone higher. And we talked about you need an X, and more than just an X, they haven't had a separator at X. I don't even know how long it's been, and that's kind of his game. Watching him and thinking about it, I was thinking he's like a less consistent, less refined Stephon Diggs, where like they win with the route running, they've got that dog in them. They're really the ball skills. Again, this is where the inconsistency comes in, and that's a big part of Diggs' game. So I'm not saying he is him. We're like comparing Drake May to Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, right? So I feel like this isn't too far out there. But that guy who can – he's better in the slot. He's better at Z when you give him those kind of easier opportunities, but he can separate at X. Doesn't have great speed, but is explosive enough that he can win, and especially with the route running, like he just embarrasses people. And again, the attitude, man, I love what he's going to bring to the locker room. So I beat the Javon Baker praise to death, but I really do love that pick. And I feel like he is exactly the kind of player on and off the field that the offense needed.
Can I give you comp form? And maybe I'm dating myself here. And let me also be clear. I think this guy is one of the most underrated receivers of like the last generation of receivers. I think this guy's outstanding. Brandon Lloyd, to me, mm-hmm. Pound for pound, Brandon Lloyd might be the best body control receiver I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You watch him go out over the sideline, go outside of his frame and get a football. He gets to everything. He got to everything. And I'm not just talking about his Patriots time. Like you go back, you watch him in Denver. You watch him in San Francisco. There was not a ball he didn't believe he could catch. And there was some juice after the catch too, but you're right. Steve Smith did have that comp, so I sound like I'm stealing it. But if you want to do yourself a favor, go back, watch some like old school Brandon Lloyd highlights.
He was awesome.
He's criminally underrated.
The one thing about Baker's game where I think he's lacking and needs to get a lot better to really kind of reach that Brandon Lloyd is footwork near the boundary.
Yeah.
You see a lot of times he is a college receiver because he was only getting a foot in bounds and it felt like he wasn't even thinking about trying to get the other one in. That's one area of his game where I feel like he really needs to improve that to be a great X receiver, because I just didn't see nearly enough times where he even was trying to get both. And Brandon Lloyd, that was one of the craziest parts of his game where he's like legitimate ballerina, like toe tapping, where he makes the full extension and still knows where the sideline is and somehow keeps both feet in bounds. So that's, I think, a pretty significant weakness that Avon Bell has right now. But yeah, in terms of like his ability to make those stupid catches, and it looks like it's completely subconscious. Like he's got light hands where he'll just pluck it. And you're like, I don't even think he planned to do that. It was just a complete like secondary reaction where clearly he practices those things, but that little bit of refinement's definitely needed.
ironically, so when I post these stories, right, when I post the website, especially when it's like the Patriots draft this guy post, I always try to find like a cool picture. Like, let's hype the guy up a little bit. Let's get people excited. And there's this awesome, awesome picture of Javon Baker on USA Today where he's going up over an Alabama corner, full extension over his head, making a catch in the end zone. But his foot's halfway out of bounds. And I knew if I posted it, every single reply would be, he's out of bounds. It's not a catch. So that's very fitting. Brian, your favorite pick in the draft.
I mean, it's not a surprise either. And it's the easy pick, but it's Drake May. He's been my favorite quarterback in this draft since this time last year. He was the easiest pick of the draft at number three there. He's got all the physical tools you look for and you want in a quarterback prospect and that you need to compete in the NFL, in today's NFL, especially in the AFC, where they're just like every team seems to have an elite quarterback with elite physical tools. So they needed a guy like this. They got him with Drake May. If it doesn't work in 3 years and we all look stupid and they look stupid, like you still can't blame them for taking this pick. It was the right pick. It was the easiest pick. And I'm pumped Drake May's here.
You bust Drake May. Drake May doesn't bust.
Right. Yes, exactly.
I might surprise some people with my pick. Honestly, it's Jaheim Bell. I'm ready to believe. I'm ready to believe that they're going to get creative with him. And I think he could end up being, you know, a lot of these guys that are these kind of unique gadget players in the NFL, they go late in the draft and everybody's like, how did that happen? Because you really need to have a vision for a player like that. You can't just plug him into any, you know, whatever and block him in. And they're at a unique point right now where they're out here writing this playbook and essentially starting from scratch. And to bring a guy like that in now, I think is a pretty fun opportunity. So I'm not sitting here telling you he's going to become like the greatest Patriot of all time, but could he become like a nifty sort of spot contributor for them? Yeah. And I think there's definitely value in that. So, you know, I like the receivers they got. I obviously like Drake May. I like most of their picks. The only one I really don't get is Robinson, and Caden Wallace, we'll see. But I feel like Jaheim Bell, there's sneaky upside there, especially to get him where they did. That's part of this. To get him where they did, I feel like there's sneaky upside there. I'm just going to bury that.
One thing real quick.
Yeah.
Because the point about the offensive lineman in this comment reached on big boys. I actually talked to John from New England Sports Journal about this. He's coached the game. He's one of the smartest football people I know.
He knows
linemen. One of the things he mentioned was there's no such thing really as reaching for offensive linemen, especially when it comes to tackle. Like, if this is a guy who has tools that you look for and you covet those and you think you can turn him into something, good offensive linemen are just not easy to find. Again, especially at offensive tackle. And you can make the argument that maybe Caden Wallace should be a right tackle, but if he has a body type and a profile that you like, and again, this is going to kind of fly under the radar, but when you look at the board, he was still one of the better tackle prospects, arguably the best tackle prospect who was there. We have no idea if they wanted to trade up, what they thought of Suma Taia, what they thought of Patrick Paul, and whether they actually really wanted those guys as much as Wallace. But if you like that profile, you can't afford to let those guys slip. And it's kind of similar to Jalen Polk where, oh, they reached on him too early, but it's like, all right, but they weren't picking until the third round. And he probably wasn't a third round pick. Right. They already traded back. They got the extra pick, turned that into Javon Baker, and they got their guys. So, you know, I understand the idea that, you know, everybody has their own opinions, and I'm not trying to push back on that, but especially when it comes to offensive linemen, it's not really reaching, because if you like this guy's tools, get them in so you don't have to settle for somebody who maybe has a profile that you don't like as much.
You got to take them.
The chat saying that Cole Strange was a reach. Yes, Cole Strange was a reach because, you know, the consensus seemed like there were probably some better, you know, guards at that position, where you just mentioned Taylor. Wallace was the best player, the best tackle available at that spot. So it's not a reach when, you know, he's still at the top of the board.
The Caden Wallace thing is a result of tackle. He was the best tackle there. He was supposed to go around later, but so was everybody that got picked ahead of him. That's just the way the draft was going, and you have to play the board. It goes back to, again, if the forecast tells you it's sunny and you have a convertible, are you going to put the top down even though it's raining because of what the forecast tells you? Cole Strange is different. There's a couple things with Cole Strange. He was not the best guard on the board, and it's a positional value thing. Why did they want to go guard there overall? With Caden Wallace, I've second-guessed that pick. I will continue to second-guess that pick. The second guess, though, is not taking Caden Wallace where they took him. If that's the player they wanted, that's where you take him. The second guess is, should they have been more aggressive and moved up to not end up on the back side of that run to end up with a different tackle? But if they were taking a tackle at 68, the only other guy that was there that you could make an argument for was Emetigi from Yale. But another thing, we've talked about their trends about, you know, personality type and experience and all of that. They seem disinterested in guys that have an injury history. They want guys that are going to be available on the field. Emetigi is obviously coming off of a somewhat significant injury. So I do wonder if he just wasn't on their board or if he was ranked lower on their board because of the injury. That's the only other guy that's there.
And agent experience like Kingsley Suamataio, we loved him. He's 21 years old. And I kind of like the compensation for that because he is a leader and he was a captain. But he's a guy who was not going to play year one. Caden Wallace and Layden Robinson are both guys who are profiled and said they are going to contribute very quickly. Maybe it might take them a year to start, but they're going to be, you know, they can do things pretty quickly, be spot starters or whatever. So that's pretty important to remember too. Patrick Paul, I feel like, is the only guy where you can argue they could have been more aggressive. We also don't know if they made some attempt to get Patrick Paul and they just couldn't, like we heard about the receivers.
I think the second guess was Patrick Paul. I'll throw Blake Fisher on that list. I think they really liked him. Mm-hmm. And then could they have traded back up into the first round to get a tackle, to get, you know, Tyler Guyton went kind of earlier. He went 27. Like, that's a pretty big trade up.
They tried for
34. Yeah, they tried for him.
Yeah.
They tried for Guyton, then they were trying for receivers too. But you can second guess. I'm not saying you can't second guess the pick. I'm second guessing the pick. Let's just be educated, you know, football minds, and second guess it correctly. It's not that they took the wrong player in the spot. It's that should they have even been picking there or should they have moved up? I'm just going to bury this one. Have I said Minnesota in 3 days? People think I'm all upset about JJ McCarthy for some reason. One, he was QB5, like I told you guys all along. Two, I said on Catch 22 on Friday, he's probably going to win Rookie of the Year. So it's going to be him or
Mac Jones. He's going to have the Mac Jones Rookie Year.
But he's got a better situation. He's got a more sustainable situation. It's going to be him or Harrison, I think, for Rookie of the Year. I don't know. Maybe somebody comes out of nowhere. Caleb Williams will probably have a shot. Mm-hmm. But I just think...
Who? Blake Corum?
Yeah, when they give like an actual award to a rookie, I'll believe it. To a running back, sorry. I'll believe it when I see
what about,
it.
What about Joe Milton?
No. Joe Milton's going to win...
Practice squad player of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
What about Drake May? Come on.
So, all right. Let's before we go to the UDFAs, I do want to get to the UDFAs. When does Drake May play his first? When does Drake May make his first regular season start?
If he has a good camp and preseason, and again, it's like if the inconsistencies dwindle, I think he plays. I think you just want him having the crazy misses, but I think maybe they would plan for like if they get that midseason bye week, like you mentioned, Alex. I think that might be it because I don't think he needs to sit the entire season. I think he's battle tested already. You've seen what he can do in rough circumstances. And especially with Baker and Polk, like I think those are the kind of guys you wanted them to add where you feel better about his pass catching options. And they have a good enough offensive line. If Cole Strange doesn't work out, then you have Wallace and Robinson who can give you backups there. So I feel a lot better about him potentially playing earlier.
Brian, I'll leave it to you.
I think the thing is we're going to get on the
practice. Brian's going to say tomorrow.
Yeah, I think we're going to get on the practice fields in the summer, and I think it's going to be pretty clear how talented this guy is. And, like, he might just kind of blow Jacoby Brissett and the rest of these guys out of the water. And at that point, are you going to sit there and say, like, all right, we're going to bench him? Maybe if you have, like, a week five bye, you can, you know, it's an easier sell to maybe your defense to just say, like, hey, we're going to sit this guy for a month, and then he's going to, you know, take this over. But yeah, I think he might be ready to go right away. It obviously depends how it looks throughout the summer, right? He's got to be consistent. He's got to have a good performance. But I expect we're going to get out there, and he's going to be the clear-cut best quarterback, and it's going to be pretty hard to sit him.
It's a cop-out, but it's what I said the other day. He's going to start when they feel like he's ready to start and not a second prior. They cannot rush into it. Like, they can't do the whole – get antsy about, hey, we got to start this guy. We spent the number three pick on him, because you can't then go bench him if he sees ghosts and whatnot. So as long as they do it right, and as long as, again, Jacoby knows his role, Alex Van Pelt, they know their role. They know what the idea or what their idea was going into this thing. So just, you know, make sure he's ready. When do I see it? It depends on the bye week. But if it's a mid-round bye, I can see them really trying to kick this thing gear post-bye.
I think this could be right around the bye week. I don't think he starts week one. I think they want to do this right. And now, granted, I was the guy that was saying there was no chance, you know, 3 years ago, there was no chance Mac Jones was starting week one. I said that the whole time, even when he was clearly better than Cam Newton in camp, I was sitting there saying, I don't think he, you know, I think they're going to want to take care of him. I think they're going to want to make sure he's ready. I say between a month or two in, I think by Halloween. And again, we'll see when the bye week is, you know, if the bye week's like Thanksgiving, then maybe, you know, they wait for that. But I do think he starts games this year. I think he starts about half their games, maybe a little more, but I do think it's going to be Jacoby Brissett week one. The other thing is, the real interesting thing is what happens if Jacoby Brissett gets hurt week one or two.
Right.
Then, you know, is it Zappy or Joe Milton or Drake? Is Joe Milton the buffer zone? Is that why they drafted Joe Milton? Because what happens if Jacoby gets hurt, Drake May's not ready, you put Joe Milton out there, one of two things is going to happen. Either Joe Milton's not going to be good and you still get to wait on Drake May and maybe get another top five pick to add an elite tackle or an elite wide receiver with him, or Joe Milton is good and now you trade Joe Milton and get a premium asset and then you help Drake May that way.
So, I have a hard time thinking they put Joe Milton in that spot there. They would play Drake May.
Can I make a bold prediction also? Yeah. Whoever's at quarterback, unless it's Bailey Zappe for real. Actually, no, even because Bailey Zappe will sling it. I think this could be one of the more explosive offenses in the league.
They're definitely going to try to be.
I think, one, they're going to make the effort, but now that you have Polk, you have Javon Baker, like those guys can rotate in. Kendrick Bourne is a better downfield threat than he's been utilized as, either because of talent or coaching. DeMario Douglas was constantly open downfield. He just didn't have anybody actually hitting him there. And we know Alex Van Pelt is going to run the ball to set up play action and throw downfield. I'm telling you, man, like, I think they finally have the guys who can really win downfield. Like, the young guys give that juice that they needed. And if Drake plays, they're not going to put like training wheels on him and have him just throw in that West Coast slants and drags.
No.
He's going to be letting that thing ring. So that's my bold prediction. This is going to be a much more explosive offense than people think.
Bailey Zappe on the roster week one. Yes or no?
No.
No.
Yes.
Is he on the roster at the start of camp?
Yes.
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 I think he's on the roster at the start of camp. I don't think he makes the team. I think you're trading.
I want to go back on it. I kind of want to go back on it. If Drake May has a good camp, he's not going to be on the roster.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Fair enough. All right. We did want to get to the UDFAs. I want to get to some UDFAs. So the UDFA classes we know of so far, these are just players they signed. These are not players they've given rookie minicamp invites to, because as much as we get in the weeds on this show, we're already at an hour and they invited like 30 guys on tryouts. So the UDFA class, Pettis, an experienced safety from Troy, over, I think, 3,000 snaps in his career. Charles Turner, multi-year starting center from LSU. Mikey Victor, big corner, All-American corner from Alabama State at the FCS level. John Morgan, pass rush specialist from Arkansas. Zuri Henry, a six-year starting tackle at UTEP, a true swing tackle. He has over 1,800 snaps at left, over 800 at right in his career. Deshaun Fenwick, big physical running back from Oregon State. Jacob Warren, a blocking tight end from Tennessee. Caleb Ford Dement, a corner, kind of a tweener corner from Texas State. John Trey Hunter, a linebacker from Georgia State. And then Jet Bush, a pass rushing outside linebacker from Texas. Anybody stand out to you there, guys? Anybody you're super excited about?
I wouldn't say super excited about, but Deshaun Fenwick was a guy that I was taking.
I mean, relative to UDFAs.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, still, I don't think he's going to be like a super exciting guy, but I think he's like going to be in that competition with Kevin Harris. It's like a really solid, not explosive, but a good fit. He is a zone runner. He's kind of like that one cut style. He can also catch passes. He can pass block. So we can be that kind of every down change of pace. Like, you know, we want to get somebody in the mix with Gibson and Ramondre Stevenson. I think he's going to contribute pretty early. Also, the tight end they got from Tennessee, Joe Milton's teammate. He's got experience at a bunch of different positions. He's not a Y, but I feel like they played him pretty much everywhere else. Jacob, I think he's an interesting guy. I want to watch him. He's one of my like higher priority watches for this class.
Zuri Henry is interesting.
Yeah.
I heard you guys talking about it this morning, Alex, you and Cerrone, where a ton of experience, but not a lot of size. So if he can, you know, build on his size, learn and stand out, maybe he makes the team or at least comes around on the practice squad and can, you know, turn it into something else. Cause just adding a guy who has a lot of left tackle experience is something they didn't do in the first seven rounds. So that's the one I like.
Just to add one, Charles Turner, the LSU lineman, like tons of experience in the SEC. Like, I think he's got a massive wingspan too. So, and he's a center, right? They took Jake Andrews last year. Is he a guard? Is he a center? So interesting to get another kind of pure center in the mix, see what he brings. And we do have a kicker coming for rookie minicamp. So,
oh, who is it?
We got Vincent Blanchard from Quebec City. He played in Laval in Canada. So maybe some potential competition coming in for rookie minicamp.
All right. So that'll be something to watch. I actually think it's a pretty strong class. So I think like Dell Pettis is a guy that's going to give you some special teams value. John Trey Hunter, a lot of people thought would get drafted. And he's got that sideline to sideline thing. He can be a special teams contributor. I like the corner from Alabama State, Mikey Victor. I like cornerbacks with size. He had a ton of on-ball production. You know, I think he's going to end up in that mix for one of those rotational cornerback spots. Henry's interesting. He's just under 300 as a tackle. I wonder about, like, he's really far away. I like Fenwick. I do. 6 foot, 225, but he's got a little wiggle to him. I think part of the reason he went undrafted, he's just really inexperienced. For a guy that was in school, is it 5 years or 6 years? I have it here. 6 years in college, he only eclipsed 100 carries once. So I think that's part of the reason he went up, because I watch him, he looks like a draftable player. There's not a ton of tape on him, so we don't really know. But like you said, Taylor, like, can he push Kevin Harris for that third running back role? I think that's absolutely a position battle. Jacob Warren, blocking tight end, red zone threat. I think he clearly has a path to the roster. And then I already talked about John Trey Hunter. So I think there's a couple guys that certainly, they won't all make the team, but I think there's a couple guys that can make a push for a roster spot there.
Yeah.
All right. Before we wrap it up, I'm going to put you guys on the clock. Give me one player in the 2025 draft class that you're excited about.
I'm blanking on his first name, but Loveland, the Michigan tight end.
Colston Loveland,
Colston Loveland. They didn't, you know, we got Jaheim Bell, 231. We all think it's good value. Maybe he turns into something, but, you know, Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper, they're both going to be 30 this year. Maybe that's a position that they're looking at next year as more of a top of the draft need. If you hope, you know, Drake May works out and these receivers work out, maybe you're looking at like your pure left tackle and a tight end at the top of the draft next year. And I really like Colston Loveland there from Michigan.
It's not Patriots centric, but I am excited to watch Shedeur Sanders play football next year and see what he can do at the next level. I'm excited to see what Colorado does again, because they started so hot and fell off so fast, even though he played well. I think he's the odds on favorite to be the number one pick next year. So that whole thing is going to be, you know, exciting. So I'm looking forward to him.
You could even make that Patriots adjacent and say Travis Hunter. Cause if they do Ben Drake May all year, Taylor, I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
One of the only 2025 prospects I know. No, Travis Hunter's just a freak, man. I'm going to be really interested to see what people project him as, or what he gets drafted as. Is he going to be a receiver? Is he going to be a corner? Are they going to try to have him as both? Little Deion Sanders action. Literally, I mean, he's going to have the experience and the tutelage to know how to do that. So, he's electric. I really like him. And again, I don't really know this class very well. So,
I'm naturally going to give you two guys because of me. And this is kind of how I wanted to wrap it up. I like Polk and Baker. I really do. But I think ideally they're your T. Higgins, not your Jamar Chase. They're your Tyler Lockett, not your DK Metcalf. Not necessarily stylistically, but I'm saying like as you build out the offense. I think they have a chance to be really, really good number two receivers because Kendrick Bourne's getting older. You pop Douglas in the slot, but that's what he is. He's a slot guy. So I think the idea was this year, get the supporting cast, and next year you go out, right? You know, draft Jalen Hurts. Go out and draft Devonta Smith the next year. Sign A.J. Brown. Draft Tua, go out the next year. Jalen Waddle. Tyreek Hill. So, you know, I think you look ahead at wide receiver. You guys have heard me say this name, Luther Burden, all SEC wideout for Missouri as a true sophomore last year in 13 games, 86 catches, 1,200 yards. The dude is an all-around threat. He's probably going to be the best wide receiver in college football last year. Sorry, this is his redshirt sophomore year. He's going to be the best wide receiver in college football. He's got a good quarterback throwing him the ball and Brady Cook. He's playing in the SEC. He's going to have good competition. We're going to be able to get a good look at him. Whether the Patriots are picking high enough or whether we're talking about them trading up, Luther Burden is going to be my guy for them next year. And then in the same breath, they took some project tackles, but we don't know. So let's say Javon Baker proves he's your number one, or Jalen Polk proves he's your number one, comes out of nowhere. There's a couple tackles people like in this draft. I like Will Campbell from LSU. I just think he's probably the most complete of the group. And so that's I got to pull up his size. I don't have a size in front of me right now. 6'5", 320. Was all SEC last year. All SEC the year before. Some names to keep in mind. I'll have And we can close it there, because I'll say after this, the next draft related thing I'll be doing will be my players to watch when the college football season starts in August. Because this is it. This is it. We're done
a
here.
A long so, time for Alex to not talk about a college lot more.
Also talk about college football. We got a video game coming out in like 2 months.
True.
We got to get you guys on that. We got to get like a dynasty going or something.
Yeah, right? Let's get some live streams going.
Let's get some live streams going. So I guess final thoughts on the draft season as a whole, Taylor.
One of y'all, everybody gives it a grade for the Patriots draft overall.
I'm not a big draft grades guy. We don't
way
know.
Way too early. Way too early.
Rod Mayo said we have 2 months. We can start grading them in 2 months.
We'll come back and do draft grades. Your thoughts on just the overall thing, the process, this year's draft, all that.
I liked it. I thought they had conviction. They addressed one places they needed to address, which was huge. And also, I know like you could debate where they got their offensive lineman and all that, but I really don't have a problem with any of their picks. I really tried. I don't want to always be sunshine and rainbows. I really do try to find like what are some things you can critique. And you can definitely, I think, with the offensive line there, but I really like all their picks. Joe Milton, maybe they could have gotten a tight end or a running back, you know, that maybe people liked more. But I think there was good justification for all the picks. And I think everybody but Joe Milton is somebody who's going to contribute as a rookie, which is what you want from this rookie class. If you're a draft and develop team where Elliott Wolf said you want to get these guys reps. So I really like the class and I like the process. I think Elliott Wolf's keeping his job.
Elliott Wolf.
I guess let's close it there. Do you give him the GM title? Do you officially give him the GM title?
Get that man a title. It was good. 7 offensive players out of 8. That's what you needed to do. So no grade yet for me, but it was solid. It gives you a lot of hope for the team. So,
Brian.
As for the process, let's agree to never draft number 3 overall again. Yeah. Unless we get an awesome trade somehow and it works out in our favor. But and let's not have a talk about quarterback prospects in like October next year.
The quarterback talk abstract. We're talking about it for other teams. We're not talking about it for us.
Yeah. So, but Drake May's a Patriot, so I'm happy. We're all happy. Let's roll.
All right. That'll do it. Fun couple of days here on the crossover show. Taylor and Mike will have their stuff at clnsmedia.com. And is Patriots Daily back tomorrow?
Yes, we're going to be doing a mailbag with a special guest who I will announce later. But yeah, we got some good guests lined up for next week. It's going to be fun.
So, you know, subscribe to Patriots CLNS feed there for that. Brian, this is going to count as our Monday Patriots beat because we've done 3 shows in 3 days and we deserve a couple days off. So we'll be back Thursday. That honestly, unless there's like some breaking news, that'll probably be mostly Q&A show.
Yeah.
So, we'll be back on Thursday for that. And you can find Brian's stuff at patspulpit.com. You can find my stuff at 985sportshub.com. So thanks everybody for watching. Thanks for following along all draft season. And we'll talk to you later. Rookie minicamp in 2 weeks. We'll see you then. Bye. Oh.